The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
With him through the valley, I'll go with him through the valley. I'll go with him through the valley. Yeah, yeah. I'll go with him, all the way. You gotta go all the way. You gotta go all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Are y'all serious about it? Where he leads me, he's leading us. I will follow. Go ahead and worship. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Yeah. Hey. Hey. Hey, don't quit on him. Don't quit on him. Don't quit on him. You got to go all the way. Hey, hey, hey. Hey! Hey! That's some of that sanctified music right there. Oh, yes. Lord, I am committed. You know, it gets rough sometimes. Yeah, yeah. No, following Jesus is not easy. Sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes the road gets hard. There are many roadblocks along the way. But you got to go with him all the way. Don't think that he stopped at the cross. No, he didn't stop at the cross. You got to go with him all the way. Yeah, they took him down. They put him in a borrowed tomb. It was borrowed because he wasn't going to stay there very long. You got to go with him all the way. Oh, Jesus, he got up, didn't he? You know what? Because he got up, we can get up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You got to go with him all the way. Not only did he get up, but he walked the earth. He walked the earth for a little while. And then the Bible tells me that he went down and got all the brothers and sisters who were in the soul, in the bosom of Abraham, and lifted them up. He brought salvation. Amen. Not only did he, then he brought them up, and then he ascended. And he went up. And he went to the Father, and he said he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And you know what? You know what he's doing? He's making intercession for us on the daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, for you and me. Hallelujah. Glory to God who is most high. While you all are standing, let's just look at this verse. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we won't be long. Because I know y'all want to go see the Bengals win. We won't be long. Look like we got to go with them, too. Yes. Grace and mercy. Yeah. This is a very familiar text. And you all know that I've been stuck right here in this text for the last at least six times I've brought the word. As the Lord told me to stay right there. Listen. In John chapter 6, and I'll be reading from the New King James. In John chapter 6, we find these words. It says, after these things. That's speaking to somebody already. I can stop right there. After these things, Jesus, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him. You got to go with him all the way. Why did they follow him? They followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. I'm talking to somebody already. Yeah. And Jesus went up, oh glory, on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So now on the Passover, a feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, thank you, Lord, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Man, that's a word right there, isn't it? Yeah, Minister Keeling can stop right there, and we go ahead and have church. That's a word. Today we're going to let the text talk. Say it with me. Say, let the text talk. Yes. Lord, I thank you for being God, for being who you are. Father, I just ask right now that you will just open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive your word, Lord. Because I know that once your word gets inside of us, we become unstoppable. Lord, there are no roadblocks, no obstacles that can stop us once your word is in us, Lord. Let us learn how to minister to others, to minister to the world, a world that is cold and dark and growing darker. Lord, let us feed them with the word that these may eat. I want to use for a thought today, let him do it. Amen. Let him do it. Before I get immersed in this message, I just wanted to just pause just for a minute to tell you all just how proud I am of you on the things that you all have been doing. Our program on last week was par excellent. The very fact that we are capable and able of assembling people, great minds, intellectuals, people with various agendas, with various initiatives to come together when we call and ask. My friends, that should not be overlooked. Yeah, we just need to do more of that, to talk to the world, to invite them in, I think, so that we might share. And we let them know that, you know, even though it wasn't a religious base program, but the Lord was all in it. Right. Pastor, you and your wife done a great job. You and your staff done a phenomenal job. We had people who came from all over the country, actually, to sit and to listen. Sometimes you have to sit down and reason. And really, when you have someone who is facilitating, who is full of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, they're actually listening to God. Amen? Because he is his manservant, for sure. Then our young people who have been doing so well, I'm not overlooking the services that you all have been doing. And they say that we don't invite the young. Young people are going away, but you all are doing a great job just in what you do. Like Nikki's back there doing the communication. They alternate from sunny to sunny. They put programs together. They do excellent work. And we ought to make sure that we acknowledge them sometime. We let them know that we're not overlooking you. A lot of them, they're not looking for credit. But I want to let them know that I appreciate you. Amen. And first and foremost, keep on coming back. There's my son over there who's been in the church all of his life. He's a wealth manager for Northwest Mutual, he and his wife. And son, you're doing a great job. I know it's tough, it's rough, but I want to tell you, you're doing a great job. You know what? And I like it when you come and sit down right there. Amen. I do. Amen. And last and not least, to my lovely wife, my biggest critic. She gets me on everything. She's a perfectionist. And I am on some things. But I appreciate you just being there for me through sickness. And let's just say that the marriage vow says through sickness and health, amen, to death do us part. Right? Remember that part? Anybody take that vow? I'm glad for that vow. I like to use that because most of the time it's me who she got to be dedicated to. I'm the one that's going so up and down. Most of the time her stream of life is steady. And the Lord's hand has been constantly on my wife, and I feel like I get a blessing because of that. Amen. Amen. It's now 10 minutes after. But I just wanted to open up just a few things, and this is really just an edification and a reminder of who God is. I've already heard some things, which we often do as we're preparing, and then in those last moments where it's time for us to get up and to preach the word of God, that things are said. One thing that I heard said right off was Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "I know." And that's what I want to talk to you all about, not particularly that scripture, but the fact that God knows all things. We forget about that, don't we? His omniscience. And that's what I want to look at it from the doctrinal part in the Bible. You will find that God knows all things. When you read it and study, you'll find, not coming from me, not from a theologian, not from a philosopher, not from the pastor or the preacher, not from the Bible teacher, not from the Sunday school teacher, but it's right here in the Word. That God knows all things. And because he knows all things, my suggestion to you is let him do it. Amen. Man, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about those hard things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the easy things we can do, like we can get in our car and turn the key and the things comes. Most of the time it starts. But sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, most of the time we become lost because cars are so mechanized and they're so computerized, and it could be a multitude of things wrong with the car. When you turn the key, it don't come on. Like, what? It's time for me to go. It's time to go to church. It seems like things always happen when it's at the most important hour, don't it? Like, really? So, and I'm saying let God do it. I'm talking about those hard occasions that happen in your life, the things that kind of get us down, make us fuss, make us want to cuss, make us cut people off in traffic, all those type of things. I'm saying to you, let God do it. And I'm saying that, too, because God spoke to me about some things that I wanted to handle myself. I thought I was smart enough and big and bad enough to handle myself. And it was eating at me. It was becoming one of those type of things where you just want to grab somebody and shake them type of deal. You know, and I think Timothy spoke to me. He said a minister of God, a deacon in God's church must not be a brawler. And I was like, So I had to speak to that. I have to speak to that. But you know, God is saying to me, he says to me, "Do you want to handle it, or you want me to handle it?" You know, just like, remember how mom used to talk to us like that, mom and dad. You gonna do it, or you want me to do it? And sometimes I say that to my guys. You gonna do it, or you want me to do it? Because sometimes people are just not doing things well enough for us. Amen. Come on now, be real with me. Y'all know sometimes people ain't moving fast enough. They ain't washing the dishes clean enough. Whatever it is, sometimes people are just not moving fast enough. And you get agitated. But I'm saying in those moments, in the hard moments, let God do it. Amen. We could not save ourselves, so he saved us. Amen. Amen. Let God do it. This is a beautiful text. There's so many things that's in it. But I just wanted to expose a few things. Leave a little something on your heart to take with you for the duration of the week. Knowing that most of the time, if I ask you 2 hours later, what did I talk about? Oh, something about, you said something about God knew everything. I have been, the pastor's been preaching and teaching like crazy these days. I thank God for it. I've listened in and I focus in. And one thing I told him this morning, I said, "Pastor, if I didn't get anything else, I learned that Jesus customized his responses to everybody in the Bible." That's right. Amen. He had a word for anybody that came up and talked to him. That's right. I'm going to go back one week to blind Bartimaeus. He had something for him that dealt with him, didn't he? Before that, he was talking about the rich young ruler and how he responded to him. Amen. And so he showed it. Do y'all remember that part? I just wanted to test, see if y'all remember things, because those things help you along the way. That, therefore, I don't have to study as hard when Pastor does that. Thank you. But Jesus' response is still the same way, even in this text. He responds according to that person's need, according to that person's mental aptitude, his altitude, the climate by which a person is dealing. Each person, as Pastor always said, he said it very simply. You don't know what people are dealing with when they come and sit down. Each one of you are dealing with issues that I have no knowledge of, but God knows. And you know what he'll do? He'll tell me in a text, and I'll talk to you. And as you say, we'll talk to that one person. If we could talk to that one person and help that one person, our living and our preaching will not be in vain. The scripture, if you look at it closely, it says that a great multitude followed him. That's the first thing that stuck out to me as I was reading and getting down to my focal scripture. It said a great multitude followed him. And they said it because, or the reason being, is that they saw his signs, which he had performed, past tense, on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and he sat down with his disciples. Pastor on last week said that Jesus stopped long enough. He was on his way to the cross. Because, you know, if you look at the next chapter in that text that he brought last week, the next thing was happening was he was going into Jerusalem on a donkey. But he stopped by just long enough, and he stopped for blind Bartimaeus to take care of his needs, knowing that everything was going to happen to him, because he knows all things. That's tremendous. Think how tremendous that is. Jesus knew each thing that was going to happen to him. He knew each thing was going to be said about him. He was already in advance. That's what I'm saying. Let him do it. He knows each thing is going to happen to you. He knows what's going to happen to you today, tomorrow, the next day, and the days that come thereafter. He knows, so let him handle it. I need for you all to stop and this week and sit down and talk to God and say, Lord, I'm going to let you do it. Talk to him about those things. That's what I need for you. If you don't do anything else this week, talk to the Lord about those things that you need for him to do. I'm telling you, the result will be phenomenal. The Lord will blow your mind. He will leave you scratching your head about the things that he can do. Amen? Thank you. The next verse, verse 4, says, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And this got me right here. It said, Jesus lifted up his eyes. And I followed my Lord's eyes. I got inside the text with my sanctified imagination, as a pastor says, and I followed my Lord's eyes up. He was sitting there listening to his disciples and talking. And then he lifted up his beautiful, eternal, everlasting eyes and saw his people, whom he had called. He knew each one of them before the foundation of the earth. And that's where I'm going to give you a text of Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 is familiar. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Who did he foreknow? Us. He saved us before the foundation. That's a long time ago. And then the rest of the time we're going to spend in eternity. God had already planned it and laid it. He said, I know, Jeremiah 29:11, the plan that I have for you. Amen. There it is. God knows everything. He's omniscient. Let me give you another verse, Romans 11:2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. So is anybody thinking about God and left me alone? He must be angry with me. Why am I not hearing from you? No, ma'am, no, sir. God has not forgotten about you. Hey, man, y'all need to talk to yourself. God has not forgotten about you. See, that's how I talk to him. I say, Lord, hey, look, I'm your child. There's some stuff going on. I need you, Daddy. I need you, Father. No, you knew me. You know who I am. As the song says, He knows my name. Y'all like that song? I like that song. It's out there. He knows my name. Yes. He knew Philip's name. And Acts 2:23. It says, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and the foreknowledge of God. He was talking about Jesus. He went on to say that y'all crucified him. He said he was already, it was already been determined. It was predetermined, his purpose, and it was a foreknowledge of God, all the things that was going to happen to him. Hey, look, he was the firstborn into this task that we have of giving a word to this world that is growing darker and weaker every day. He was the firstborn, and that's why he done it, so that he can be the firstborn, so that he can be the example for us to follow. Amen. Some people don't want to go to the cross. I get it. But you know what? I might be that repentant sinner on the right-hand side. That thief. He stole things. They call him a thief. He took things from people. Amen? But he had enough sense to know that that was the Messiah. And he repented. When you come to yourself, amen. Oh, who am I talking to today? When you come to yourself, and you think about the things that you've done. When you come to yourself and you think about the things you're doing. And when you come to yourself and you think about the things you're about to do. Because most of the time it's intentional. Repent. Some people say repentance is a change of mind. I wanted to get into the mind because God knows. He has a science of knowing. So it's a mindset involved in this whole thing. We talk about it a lot. Sometimes we need to change our way of thinking. How we approach things. Amen. Yeah, some of us have a wrong way of thinking. So therefore, we end up down a wrong road where there's no outlet. Amen? Well, seemingly. But he's the outlet. God is the outlet. So, you know, you might find yourself, as the pastor say, sitting on the, what do you do when you're sitting on the roadside? Huh? You might be at the dead end road. Talk to Jesus. So sit down, kneel down, whatever you have to do, but talk to him. Amen. Another verse I'm going to give you. 1 Peter 1:2 said, the elect, you are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We are his elect people. Amen. Doing the ministry of God. We have been elected. He's crowned. He has a coronation. We have been elected to do this duty. Wow. Who voted? Who voted in all this? The eternal Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, three votes. All you need is three votes. They all agree. We got three votes who elected us to do our part. Amen. Y'all need any more? Y'all need anybody else to co-sign for you? You've been elected to do the work that you do, and a lot of us are sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. Amen. Stop doing that. That's my plea. That's my cry, is that you do it. Once God has told you, look, I'm going to handle this, I'm going to handle that, but here's what I need for you to do. There are some humanistic things that we need to do for a God, a deity, a divine God. There are some human things. We're human, right? We're mortals, right? There are some things that we have to do in this mortal body. I thought about James. James said, faith without works is dead. But also you need to have a faith that works. Amen? You need to have a faith that works. And the reason why a lot of things are not happening for us because we don't believe that it will happen. That God already knows. Since he has foreknowledge and since he knows everything, he is also all powerful. All these attributes must come together. I heard a song and I had to talk about it. Our choir kept singing it. I was at some other location, but they kept on saying that God is trying to tell you something. And I said, okay, I get that. And the humanistic side is you're not listening. But God, my God, the God that I know, the Almighty God, don't try to do anything. He does it. So I think that's, you know, theologically, I think that's wrong. God don't try to do anything. He does it. It's that the humanistic side, you're not responding. We have dead ears, all right, because our faith has died inside of us. And it's because of experience. I get it. So many things have happened to us that we start to give up, don't we? He said, "Oh, that's, you know," and I talked to that before to you all before about the mindset that we adopt in our skull because so many things happen. So we said, "God must not be good because all these things, bad things, are happening to me," and that is not true. That is an erroneous statement. If it comes from the inside or the outside, if it comes out of your mouth, you're wrong. And I ain't gonna say turn to your neighbor, but say you're wrong. Say, hey, you don't know me. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, and 5. I like this too. It says, blessed. Blessed. I feel that down in my spirit. I'm blessed. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bless us, who bless me, who bless you with every spiritual blessing. Oh, my God. How could anybody stop you if you got every spiritual blessing on you? Yeah, Satan, he's been defrauding us. He's been telling us that we don't have all this, but I say that we do. The Word says that we do. God says right here that we do. We have every spiritual blessing because he's the God of all. He's all-knowing. Amen. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ.
That's right.
Just as he chose us in him when, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I don't know who's blaming you, but the scripture just told me that we are holy and without blame through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Yeah, we have been set free. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 5 says, having been predestined. There's that word predestined again. He has predestined us to the adoption, to the pleasure of his will. Amen. To the pleasure of his will. We never want to work against God's will. He knows everything. He's got a plan. Let him work it. Let him do it. It only makes sense, doesn't it? Let God do it. Whatever that thing is. Whatever you have to achieve, think about it from the context of God. Lord, here's what I got to do. Here's where I got to go forward. These are the people that I need. Amen. And I know Pastor can say it. He will send you those whom you need. Amen. I know we used to say in the Marines, all we need is a few good men. That's right, because no, too many people get in the way. They do. Too many people get in the way. They be double, you know what I'm saying, duplicating and stuff like that. Oh, no. Just give me some efficiency here. Amen. Somebody, I know y'all looking at me crazy, but you can't hire too many people. It could be too many people in the kitchen, can't it? Oh, Lord. Okay, now y'all talking. I knew that would get you. Let me speak to you from John 1:43. He said, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. That tripped me out, too. I'm like, Jesus wanted to go somewhere. What are you going to do, a horse and buggy? How are you going to go? They said he walked a lot of times, you know, but he wanted to go somewhere. You know, your wife wanted to go somewhere. Honey, will you take me? But Jesus wanted to go somewhere. I'm like, Jesus, you could go anywhere you want to. But he wanted to go to Galilee. Let me get back to the text. John is writing. He said he found Philip and said to him, follow me. This is Philip we're talking about in the text, who he tested to see what was going on in his mind, knowing what he would do. He said he found Philip. This is beautiful. He said, follow me. And he said, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Let me just stop right here. See, we're trying to figure out how do we go and get people, you know what I'm saying, to become members, to become part of church, be part of the universal church of God. How do we do it? Well, we can't do it. Let me help you out a little bit. Sitting on the pews, okay, then going home and soaking in what we learned and say, let the world be the world and what's okay with them is okay. No, you can't do it that way. You can't do it that way. You got to go find somebody else. I'm going to show you something I noticed about these men. He found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, capital H. We have found him. This also, to me, is remarkable. Because they did not find him. God found them. You know, so it's remarkable what we say in our minds, this mindset. We have found him. Who are you talking about, Nathan? He who we found him whom Moses in the law has also and the prophets wrote, the Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him. He was already in the book, Pastor. You had to be reading to know who he was. Hey, man, that just went over y'all head, didn't it? You got to soak it in. You got to read and understand. Ask the Lord to help you along the way. And Nathan coming toward him, capital H, and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit. I think the King James says there is no guile. He used the word guile. Verse 48 said, Nathan said to him, how do you know me? Oh, Lord, how do you know me? Oh, my God. Did I tell you that he knows everything? He knows who you are. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. There's no secret with him. How do you know me? Sometimes people get right downright gangster. You don't know me, bro. I don't know nothing about him. I don't think he said it that way, did he? He said it like a true Israelite. In him there was no deceit. My Lord, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him and said to him, before Philip called you, Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Let him do it. I'm just telling you right now to let him do it. He said, I saw you. I got you. Amen. I saw you. He's seen us looking from the cross down. Yes, he did. He's seen us. And he went on and done it. They didn't kill him. He died for us. Amen. The Lord died for us. He died for me because he saw me. He saw Byron in need, struggling. Yeah, on his way to a burning hell. He said, I saw you. He saw me. He saw you. He saw Pastor. He saw all of us. He said, I saw you. Thank you, Lord. His eyes, the eyes that he lifted up, that was tripping about, he saw us. Amen. From eternity. He's an everlasting God. That's another attribute. God lives forever. Amen. Hallelujah. That make you want to shout right there. He lives forever. And he is holy. Yes, he is. He is without guile. And he is without sin. He is perfect. The perfect sacrifice. And that's what Nathan and they were getting to in that verse. They was telling him that the law was saying that we needed, remember the Jews always, or the Israelites, not always the Jews, had a sacrifice going on, didn't they? They had a substitute one thing for another. He died a substitutionary death for us, amen? They substitute a lamb, an unblemished lamb for their sins. He was a substitute, amen? And that's what they were talking about in the law. Moses says that there's a substitute. They said, we found him. We found a substitute. Amen. That's what they were saying in the spirit. We found him. This is the Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. That's going to die for us. He's going to buy back our sins. He's going to do the redemption thing. He's going to buy back us. We're on a slave block of sin, but he's going to buy us back. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout amen. Glory. He died a substitutionary, propitiatory death. Y'all remember they put every now and then they would take a beautiful woman and put her up and let the gods come and the fire consume them. That's perpetuated as a substitute to try to tell God that, look, you don't have to be angry anymore. We're going to find a substitute. Well, Jesus, let me tell you something. He was a substitute and a perpetuation. God was angry at us, and Jesus took on the anger that God had towards us on the cross. They said, look, it got dark. The moon wouldn't even shine no more because God was mad. And everything else, and even nature, turns back. But he died that death for us, for you and I. And there's anyone today, I'm done. There's anyone today who feel like they need a perpetuation, a substitutionary Savior, you are free to come. I'm telling you that the doors of this church, the universal church of God, they are always open. Pastor, thank you.
Stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. we invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.